I was good, but I did start off later than normal. That also has an impact. I was quite okay. Normal, as you do when you're driving down to Albany, you're in that zone to go.
How many times have you done that trip, you think?
Oh, thousands. And that's not joking, it's thousands over, what, 40-odd years here, yes.
Yeah. Was there any indication as you were driving along on the trip that, you were feeling more tired than usual or anything like that?
No, not really. I stopped at Williams and got my muffin that I always do, takeaway. And then I stopped near Tenterden and had a bit of a rest. I think the thing is I didn't get out of the car. That's, I think, the crunch. But I was quite okay and I thought, yep. And I was going to go and drive through to Barker, stop at friend's place, have a cup of tea, and then go forward because I usually stop at their place as well. And it just didn't happen. I had no warning really that this was going to happen. All I know is I think my eyes must have shut for a couple of seconds because if it was any longer, I would have been off the road the other side anyway. And then to wake up and see that car coming towards me, that jolted me, needless to say. I won't tell you what I said. And then I saw the white post. Swerved and then that was it.
What do you remember of the actual crash itself? You went over a couple of times, I think.
I actually can remember the blue car, the white post, and going down the gravel. And when I hit the gravel, I thought, "This is it," because once you hit gravel, you. And I can remember feeling the car going a bit, but I think when I became airborne, that's when I was knocked out. And I can't remember anything after that until I was woken up.
It might be sort of hard to put your mind back there now, but what is it like to sort of come to and realise that you've been asleep for a few seconds and you're suddenly on the wrong side of the road?
Absolutely petrifying. I would have been okay if there wasn't a car coming towards me. I would have been able to, I think I would have actually been able to rationalise, okay, slow down, foot on the brake, hazard lights on, do all of that. Take a breath and then get over the other side after the other cars went through. But when you've got something coming down towards you at all, and you're not in that alert state, unbelievable, almost terror.
And tell us about where you crashed, because it's actually quite lucky you weren't in a more sort of heavily forested area.
My husband went up and looked, and he said, huge amounts of trees either side, and there's this little pathway that Gull went through. He said, God, someone was looking after you.
What do you remember of when you sort of came to after the crash?
Actually, I can remember everything because when I came to, I know I let out a few obscenities. And then the only thing that was really killing me with pain, actually, I was shocked because I was actually on the roof, which means I was upside down. The pain in my right hand where I'd snapped a finger and completely dislocated it, and I'd also broken my arm, and that was under my right hip. And Steve, the paramedic who arrived, said to me, where are you hurting? And I said that, and he, God, he's a beautiful man. He lifted up my hip. He said, I'm going to do this gently, and this will hurt, but then after that, you'll be right. And he pulled out my arm and supported it for all the time that that happened. And I don't know how he did it because he's a big man, and by God, he would have been in agony. And that relieved all of that pain. I didn't feel my head, which was bleeding everywhere, I didn't feel that. But it was mainly that arm. I didn't feel anything with my pelvis, even though there were five fractures there. But that was it. That was the focus of the pain.
So the first people to come across your crash were off-duty paramedics.
And then two cops, off-duty cops. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. You think far out. Yeah, there was someone really looking after me, that's for sure.
What specifically do you think would have changed things in your situation?
I should have, the second time I stopped, I should have got out of the car, walked around, smelt the roses, and then got back in. And then I would have been all right. But I just sat in the car because that was nice and warm. And so I didn't actually have that change. That's the difference, I think.
Now, you've got a husband and two adult kids and a lot of friends here in Albany. What's this been like for them?
Actually shattering. It's been incredible. God, we've got people ringing up from, we know, all over Australia. There's been a huge support for me and actually admiration that I've been willing enough to put myself forward. I looked on the police website and someone says, I'll take a licence offer and all this type of thing, and you think, you're not kind of listening to, I'm not doing it for my 5 minutes of glory, I can give you a tip. I'm doing this to try and make you aware of your limits. That's the difference.
Do you think many people do know their limits? Because I'm sure everyone has had that time where they felt a little bit tired, but they thought, no, I can push through. But perhaps being unclear about when exactly they are too tired and do need to stop.
I would say everyone I've spoken to has said, I've driven tired. Everyone I've spoken to. And that's where I think if this can just make them a bit more aware, it may help.
Yeah. So I guess you just don't know when you're going to have one of these micro sleeps, do you?
No. No. I mean, God almighty, I've been up and down to Perth and done exactly the same thing, go up one day, come back the next, I don't know how many millions of times, yeah.
Have you had a chance to catch up with the people in the other car that you had to swerve to avoid?
I'm going to ring them because I got my daughter, she found her Facebook page and contacted her and asked if she could send her a phone number or email. And if she'd like me to contact, because I don't want to contact them if they don't want me to. That could be offensive. And she said she'd love to hear from me. She flew back into Perth yesterday, so I thought today or tomorrow I'll definitely ring her. I rang Steve and his wife in Perth, and we had a beaut talk there, and I thanked them profusely. So, and I'd like to do the same with her and just say, look, I'm sorry for putting you through that fear.
Mm. But fortunately, they weren't injured.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you watch a car barreling down. Well, at that stage, when I was getting close to them, I was on the gravel anyway. But then you don't know whether I'm going to swerve back onto the road with the gravel. Not a nice thing for them to go through, and I feel very sorry for them.
Mm. How do you think you'll go getting behind the wheel again now?
I'm quite looking forward to it, actually. I've got to get a new car. I think the first trip to Perth, what I've got to do, I've been thinking about this. In the first trip, I think I'll go to my friends in Barker and come back and then just do a few trips a little bit further. And I don't think Ian will let me go up by myself the first time, but I would like to drive. I really enjoy driving. And so I think I will be a lot more aware. And if I have to stop lots of times and have a sleep, this is what I will do.